Welcome to this special Charisma News podcast series on Christian persecution around the world. Today, I'm excited to share with you an insightful interview I had with Don Schenk. He's the executive director of the Tide Global Radio Ministry. Don and his team help Christians across the world hear Christ-centered radio shows in their native languages. And in many of those countries, Christians are horribly persecuted. Stay tuned, because you don't want to miss this incredible episode. The New Believer's Bible has equipped over 10 million new Christians as they started their journey with Jesus. Now, a new edition of the New Believer's Bible includes revised and expanded notes and features to help new Christians read, study, and understand the Bible, so they can deepen their faith and build a foundation for their new life in Christ. The New Believer's Bible is now even better. Discover more at newbelieversbible.com. Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Rose Spauto, Charisma's online news director. And today, we're talking about Christian persecution with Don Schenk. Now, Don is the executive director of the Tide Global Radio Ministry. So, Don, without further ado, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jenny. It's a pleasure to be with you and to chat for a bit this morning.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to talk with you as well. So, just to start us off, Don, can you tell us, just in a brief nutshell, what the Tide Global Radio Ministry does?
The center or the main focus of what we do is to introduce people to Jesus in the language they were born to speak. And we do that primarily through radio broadcasts. We're currently doing that in 25 different languages in 8 different countries. And we're not a translation service. So we're not taking a North American radio program and translating it into those languages. Rather, we work with partners on the ground in the countries, where in some countries we have built studios, in others we help them find a studio where they can go and record. And we help an indigenous person produce a radio program so that they are sharing what Jesus has done in their own life with their own people in the language they were born to speak. So it becomes a very culturally relevant presentation of the gospel. In so many places, the gospel is seen as a foreign thing, as God who you have to learn a different language to relate to him. But by reaching people with radio broadcasts in their own language, it makes it very, very heart-touching for them. We also do provide help with discipleship activities, so that we refer to it as having boots on the ground in those countries. So that we're not just putting the gospel out there on the air, but then responding to listeners, meeting with them, helping to make disciples, and to plant churches.
Gotcha. Now, that's pretty unique. I mean, I don't really know of a lot of ministries who have that indigenous, you know, instead of translating, you guys are actually creating the shows right there. I don't know of a ton of ministries that do that in as many countries as you guys do it in. So how many countries are you guys in?
Right now, we have active radio broadcasts in 8 countries. We are right now we're developing programming in 2 languages in Pakistan. So that's going to put us up to 27 languages in 9 countries.
Gotcha. And now, the coronavirus pandemic is obviously affecting a lot of people's work. Is it affecting how you guys are ministering?
It is. Now, it depends on what country it is and how severe the virus outbreak is. For example, in Kosovo and Albania, we're in both of those countries, they have been under a total lockdown. So the biggest impact that's taking place is the discipleship, the taking care of listeners. Our pastors there have been able to do some contact through cell phone, through social media, They've also developed some going Facebook Live with some messages. But as our pastor in Albania shared, he said, how does he touch the listeners who don't have that technology available? Because in a country like Albania, in the cities, there are a lot of people who may have access to the internet. But there are still people living in the rural areas who have very rudimentary shelters. You and I probably wouldn't even call it a house to live in. And they basically live at subsistence level off the land. And he had, in one day, he had 83 contacts from listeners that he couldn't get back to them. The police did give him a permit to go out and drive one day. They gave him a permit for 6 days. He managed to visit 9 people that first day. And then the government cracked down and said, no more permits. The permit isn't even valid. Nobody can go out. So it really does impact. And the primary impact, our programs are still going out on the air. But then how do we follow up with listeners? That's the biggest struggle that we've had because of coronavirus.
Right. Now, if you guys can't follow up with listeners, does that affect like the discipleship aspect of it?
Definitely, because it's not just that, or how do I want to say this? People don't automatically accept and enter into relationship with Jesus because they heard on the radio. You know, we do have listeners, you know, they will write in and they will say, I prayed with the pastor at the end of the program. I accepted Jesus into my life. But it's also so often accompanied then by, please help me know what to do next. And accepting Jesus and then knowing how to live in relationship with him. And that's where, that's where the huge impact comes in. And so people are wondering, okay, I'm a believer now, I'm a Christian, what do I do? Others, they'll write in and they'll say, hey, I heard about Jesus on your radio program. I want to know more. I'm curious. And so they won't make that commitment until somebody meets with them or they're invited to a group gathering where we call them like seekers conferences in India. And they're invited to come and ask their questions. And leaders are trained to help answer the questions about who is God, what does a relationship with him look like, who is Jesus, why did Jesus die on the cross, and what does that mean for me? So you know, all these questions people have, those are the questions that they're out there faced with. And the real tragedy of coronavirus is the answer to all those questions can give them hope in the midst of crisis. And you and I have that hope. We know Jesus. We know whatever happens, God is sovereign. He's over all. And we have a hope and a future. Don't know what it looks like, but we have an eternity guaranteed. People who don't have that, the coronavirus is so much more terrifying for them.
Absolutely. Definitely. Especially, you know, they don't have that hope in Christ. So today, as we're talking about persecution specifically, can you tell me, how are you seeing the coronavirus affecting Christian persecution across the world? Are you noticing it affecting it at all?
The only thing which I'm seeing in a where it is being affected is in some countries, and even though we're not really broadcasting in Pakistan yet, this is one place where I have heard from a contact there that aid is being preferentially offered to the Muslim community and Christians are being left out. It's a sort of an indirect form of persecution rather than like in Nigeria, there's been militant attacks against Christians over the past. And so when it comes to the coronavirus impacting a country like Pakistan, it's not a militant attack against believers, but believers are excluded from aid and from treatment because of their faith.
Gotcha, which obviously has a big impact. You know, it may not even be necessarily purposeful, but it can definitely impact their livelihood and how they live and I guess even their standard of living. So thank you for sharing that. Do you mind sharing a little more about the persecution that goes on in the countries where you guys do have radio shows?
Yeah, you know, if you take coronavirus out of it, there's still believers who are living in jeopardy and who some are martyred for their faith. India is a real hot spot right now. Nepal, let me just give you a few examples in India.
Sure.
We have had people who have written in and said, now that I'm a believer and people know I believe in Jesus, I'm not allowed access to the community well, which for you and I, we have piped water into our houses. And we don't really think about what it means to have one source of clean water. I visited one community. There were 800 families sharing a single well. If you are excluded from that, you do not have clean water. Now you may have to walk for a couple hours to find an open source of water. It's not hygienic. You're subject to disease, and it's just a form of persecution by withholding services. But that's a mild persecution. More severe persecution is being actually beaten or killed. I've talked to the widow of a village worker in India whose husband was beheaded while he was out traveling from one village to another sharing the gospel. And radical militants ambushed him on the way and as a way of trying to send a message. She only found out about it when some others went searching for him and found his body lying by the side of the road. So these are the things that are happening. But it's at the same time, lives are being changed. I can tell you about a couple people in Nigeria where we had a letter from one man who said, I have been part of a militant group. I have been involved in killing and harming Christian believers. But now what I'm hearing on your radio broadcast, my heart is convicted. I don't want to be part of this anymore. Help me. We have one of the things we do in India and Nigeria both is there's a lot of poverty in those areas. So we will send a radio out into a community. And normally we send that out with a church planter in disguise, in essence, because what they go in and they can have that radio and they invite people to listen because there might be an entire community where people are too poor to own a radio. And so they'll invite people to listen and they form what they'll call a listening club. And it's a softer approach of the gospel because if somebody's standing and preaching the gospel, they know that, you know, it's obvious what they're doing. But when you say, hey, sit down and listen to the radio with me, and you tune in and you say, oh, this sounds interesting, let's listen to this. And it's somebody preaching the gospel on the radio, people are more inclined to listen quietly. We've had some places where the radio stewardess says, the village priest first wanted to smash the radio. But then he started listening, and eventually the village priest became a believer by listening to the radio. So,
wow.
You know, lives are being changed, but unfortunately there are still hardline people who are bound up in their false beliefs, and their only answer, because the power of Jesus to change lives is so powerful, their only answer against it is to kill. And so we can just pray that their hearts are changed, that they do hear the message, that they do have sort of a revelatory experience where Jesus makes himself alive to them, whether it's through hearing the radio broadcast or seeing how these believers respond. Because I'm sure you've seen it in the news in countries even where we're not mm-hmm. active, where people have been beheaded or they've been executed. And the faith that they have to be able to stand and say, I will die rather than to give up Jesus. It's a testimony, and it speaks to people. Not that I'm advocating that we want to all go out there and be martyrs, but I take pastors from here in the U.S., and I take them on teams into some of these countries, and I have yet to have a pastor who didn't come back more inspired by what he saw in the lives of pastors that we were teaching. And basically feeling like his or her life was changed more than they changed the people in those countries.
Absolutely. That's incredible.
Yeah, we praise God for the depth of faith, and it is challenging, you know, for me to think mm-hmm. if here in the US, if it got to the place where I was in jeopardy, where my life was in jeopardy because of my faith, could I stand as firm as they do? I pray mm-hmm. I would. I think I would. And I don't want to get into that position, but it's something that, you know, when God gets a hold of your life, he changes it and he gives us a confidence. And as we talked earlier, that hope in Christ is stronger than anything else and can carry us through anything, whether it's COVID or whether it's persecution. You know, God is supreme. And when we know that, we have a confidence. And that's the message that we try to share with people around the world.
Well, I love it. And I love what you guys are doing. And you're absolutely right. This really forces us to ask the question, you know, am I willing to give up everything like many of these Christians are around the world? Such a good question. Now, I know we're pretty much out of time for today, but before we go, I just want to ask you, where can our listeners find out more about your ministry?
The easiest way is to go to our website at thetide.org, and there you can look at any, you can research any of the countries. We have information on the various people groups we're ministering to, the languages, you can sponsor a radio to send out. So that's thetide.org.
Got it. Again, listeners, that's thetide.org. Don, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. You had great insights, and we really genuinely appreciate the work you're doing and how it's affecting the body of Christ around the world. So thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. I appreciate what you're doing to help raise awareness and to help get people involved in that. So thank you for
Absolutely. That. Absolutely. Thank you. All right, listeners, tune in next time to another episode of the Charisma News Podcast.